Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Oh, the number 21. It's that perfect hand in a game of blackjack. It's that game you played in a kid when you had a basketball hoop, a basketball, and maybe only one other person. Also, age of most states when somebody could have a legal adult beverage. And it's a great football number, too, in the NFL. And we'll talk about those great players with Oz Davis of Truly the Goats in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from the Pigpen in Western Pennsylvania to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and tonight we have our Football by Numbers series, and to help us with it, we have our great friend of the show and fellow Sports History Network partner, Oz Davis, the host of Truly the Goats and the SHN Showcase podcast. He joins us once more to talk about the greatest players to wear the particular jersey number, and in this discussion, we'll be coming up with the top 10 best NFL players to wear the number 21 on our jerseys. Oz Davis, welcome back to the Pigpen.
I do a lot of podcasts, but I love doing your show. You know why?
Why is that?
There's no editing for me, so.
Yeah, it's beautiful for you.
You have to produce the thing. So right now, it's my favorite podcast to be on.
Your favorite one's always the one you're on at that moment, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What's my favorite one? The next one.
That's right. There you go. Well, we have a tall task, my friend. We have the number 21. Yes. We have 101 years, basically, of NFL history to go through. And, you know, throw the AFL in there and any other league you want to professionally. And we have a lot of number 21s to talk about, some really good players. And the Hall of Fame is usually where we start off. And the Hall of Fame gives us these names. And I'm just going to mention them real quickly. We can come back and discuss them in a little bit. Danny Fortman, Benny Friedman, Deion Sanders, Jim Thorpe, LaDainian Tomlinson, Charles Woodson. Some great names on there in pro football history.
Well, I mean, I was just thinking, I'm glad I don't have to choose the number one, the top guy ever to wear 21, because you've got two guys who are basically, I mean, just to start, you got two guys who are basically the most dominant cornerbacks I've ever seen. On a regular basis, which is Deion Sanders and Charles Woodson. Now, you may have noticed that there's never been a cornerback to be the MVP of the Super Bowl. And the reason for that is it's really difficult for one cornerback, especially these days with nickel and dime packages being so prolific, to dominate a game. But these two guys could dominate a game, especially Deion in some of those playoff runs with those mega Cowboys teams of the 90s. And then, of course, your third name that you think of on this list is the guy who may not have put fantasy football on the map, but is probably the GOAT fantasy football player, LaDainian Tomlinson. So right at the top, those are your probably your top 321s.
I definitely agree. Plus, you throw in there with Sanders and Woodson, they had some offensive and some return skills with them in the NFL.
Sure.
They were all-around studs. You know, if there's such a thing as a two-way player in the NFL in modern-day history, it's probably those two come up to the top of the list, you know?
And plus, Sanders, you know, he's also a two-sport player, right? So
Yeah.
You got to give – I'll always give props to a guy like that. And so, of course, right off the top, I got to give props to Jim Thorpe as well. Now, you've only got him down here as playing one season with 21, but hey, again, he's one of those guys, he's a GOAT. I'm gonna put him on any list I can, so I got Jim Thorpe on my list of great 21s.
All right. Well, that's fair enough. So you're saying we want to lock in those three right now. Do we want to talk about a little bit about their stats? I'm sorry. We have four players we want to put on there. If you count Thorpe and her, right?
Well, I mean, you can. If you saw them play, you know, right? There's a certain class of players that when you see them play, you just they're the greats. I mean, you don't need the stats. Necessarily. You don't need the advanced metrics and like that. You just know. And if you played fantasy football, again, in the aughts, you know why LaDainian Tomlinson makes this list. You know why he's in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you know, he's an inaugural member of the Fantasy Football Hall of Fame for sure.
Well, anybody that can use the nickname LT and nobody's thinking about, you know, Lawrence up in New York.
Yeah. I mean,
that's you got to be an impressive player to be able to do that.
Well, Lawrence Taylor, I mean, right. Let's not go into the rabbit hole, but let's talk GOAT. I mean, one of the top five football players of all time.
Absolutely. So. But LT pulled off the nickname to have an LT, you know, 10, 15 years later after the great LT played, you know, so.
Well, some of us were pedantic sticklers and called him LDT that whole time.
Oh.
I was one of them. In preparation for the show, you always send a list of the Hall of Famers who wore this number. I mean, because you're like the spreadsheet master. You're insane. of all the key players who wore these numbers and some advanced metric stats, some AV stats from the Pro Football Reference and whatnot. And there's some real shockers on this list. One of them is Eric Allen. And what's shocking to me is, okay, let's see. I got my notes over here. Eric Allen, okay, so he's third in the AV metric on this list, but I mean, here's a guy who missed three games in 14 seasons, made six All-Pro teams, and retired in 2001. And you just wonder, like, how is he not in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, that's unbelievable. And I think he will be. I think we'll see him in the next 3 or 4 years, his name get called to go to camp.
Yeah. One of these veterans committee things, because I'm sure by now they're talking about the 90s, those guys. So
I mean, he had six Pro Bowl appearances, one All-Pro, wore number 21 his entire career.
Yes.
With Philadelphia, New Orleans, and Oakland, and just had, you know, yeah, 14 seasons, just great football.
I guess just he's got against him that he's not playing for any classic teams. Yeah, you know, I don't know how many playoff games he was in, but it wasn't a lot in those days. So I guess that's what's going against him. But as an individual player, I mean, he's Hall of Fame level.
Well, I do have his career playoff games.
Okay.
Thanks to Pro Football Reference. He played 9 career playoff games.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So he had five with Philadelphia, 2 with 4 with Oakland. So that's his totals on there.
Are those Andy Reid's? Are those Andy Reid's Eagles?
88 to 92. I'm not sure if Reid was there or not.
No.
It's pretty close. I don't think he was there yet.
Not quite. Yeah.
Okay. No, but in those playoff games, this is interesting too. He had 4 interceptions in those playoff games.
Wow.
And a touchdown off of one of them. So
wow,
that's impressive too.
That's clutch. That's clutch. Yeah, one of the early, or I should say, one of the contemporary great 21 quarterbacks, right? Quarterbacks to wear 21. I like on this list too. I like another guy I have to mention is Cliff Branch. You know, again, here's another guy that I saw. So again, like,
oh, you're showing your age now.
Yeah, well, you know, I saw
him play too, so I can't say anything.
I understand that reference in an early Simpsons episode where Lisa claims the Raiders always cheat. they don't have that reputation anymore, but I remember those days. I remember John Madden before the video game. Let's put it that way. Yeah, even before the booth. So, I like Cliff Branch on this team. Of course, you had to hate the Raiders for which he played, but, you know, it's a question of hate the teams, love the player, right? So I think again, as an individual, Cliff Branch deserves mention among the 21s.
Right. I mean, he had some great stats. 501 receptions, 67 touchdowns, over 8,600 yards of receiving. Back in that era, you know, the played from 72 to 85. Nice long career, all with the Raiders in Oakland and L.A. Just a great performer, steady performer. Numbers are pretty consistent all the way through until maybe his last year. He must have had some injury or just didn't play much. But the bulk of his career, he was just a steady performer.
Who else do you got here?
I've got some guys that I really like. I mean, Tiki Barber is on that list. I think I always liked Tiki Barber. I liked his attitude towards the game. And, you know, he didn't have bad stats either. He didn't have a lot of rushing yards. But he was sort of playing in, before it was real popular, a two-back set. You know, he had Jacobs there for a while, who was, you know, the big pounder, and Tiki was the speed guy around the end. But he had, you know, 2,217 yards rush. I'm sorry, 10,449 yards rushing on 2,200 rushes, 55 touchdowns, 3 Pro Bowls, 1 time as an All-Pro. That's got some pretty decent numbers for a running back that played, about 10 seasons? Yeah, 10 seasons with the Giants.
Yep.
And he was
durable. Bad timing, right? Bad timing, because he retired right before the Giants took out the Patriots that first time.
That's true.
He retired. I think the season before he retired. Maybe two before. But, yeah, he could have been there because Tiki was one of those guys that quit before he passed his prime. You know, he played 10 seasons, but, you know, he still had gas left in the tank. But he was like, nah, I'll do TV now. So kind of a brief career, but by choice. I never fault a guy that walks away from a game like that.
No, but still some great numbers
for
the career he had.
Yeah.
He's one that I like that's on there. Another name, sort of a blast from the past, is John Hadle. Hadle's an interesting character to look at, that quarterback. I mean, he played, the era was, you know, the 1960s and up through the mid-70s, 62 to 77.
Right. This was an era when guys who were balding could be quarterback.
Right. There's still hope for me, right? If the AFL resurrects, I could still come in.
Yeah, you and Costanza, right?
Yeah, there you go. But, yeah, played with the Chargers for 11 seasons, Green Bay for a couple years, the Houston Oilers for a couple years, and the Rams for a couple years. You know, he was well-traveled. But it was back in an era where you didn't really – the stats weren't big, but he still threw for over 33,000 yards, 244 touchdowns, and 224 games. So over a touchdown a game, that's not bad, especially for that era of football. But he did play in the AFL.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, okay, so you put dampers on this, because, again, you're sending me this list, and here he is. He's pretty high up there in the old EV rating, but he's playing against the AFL, which, you know, was not a bad league. I mean, the truth is that, like the NHL in the 70s, the NFL in the 60s was way too small. Right. There was room for a whole other league where the players. So the AFL was not a bad league, but the emphasis was really, really, really on offense. OK, they wanted to be the fun league. Right. This is always the response of a rogue league to the NFL, by the way. Right. You want to be the fun league or the league that's out west. You know, you want to be that league. And so he was in that league. However, you know, you say that he was well traveled, but he did spend the bulk of his career with the San Diego Chargers. And, you know, they were kind of in the AFL. Now, I didn't see them, so I don't know this from firsthand. I don't want to age myself that much, because that would be unfair to myself. But, you know, you look at the history of the AFL, and the Chargers were that classic team that's always in it but never in the championship. right? They're always a contender, right? Like the Rams of the 70s, right? They're in it every year, but they just never get over the hump. They never win it all, right? And so, and then the other thing is you look at his career record and dude, he's like four games over 500.
Yeah,
you know, as a starter, you know, it's just there's a reason why this guy's not in the Hall of Fame.
Well, you know, what if I give you these numbers though? Six Pro Bowls. He was an All Pro once. He was an AFL champion once. Oh, and a 1971 Walter Payton Man of the Year. Those are some pretty good numbers.
Wait. 71 Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Well, I don't. That's what they have on Pro Football Reference. Whatever.
I guess it was Man of the Year.
Man of the Year. They have it. Walter Payton. Yeah, I guess Walter Payton was probably in diapers, probably in 71.
If you go back far enough, they're giving it out before he's born. It's fantastic.
Right.
You know what? One name that we haven't talked about, and this may be the most underrated guy of all time. I got a whole rant about this. There's a stat. I was doing this, and I think it was on Hello Old Sports, a Sports History Network podcast, where they were doing a bunch of year-end memoriam episodes. And I was talking about Kobe Bryant. And I was saying, you know what one of the most important stats in sports is, especially if you do it with one team, is games played. Games played. Let's talk about Frank Gore. Frank Gore...
Absolutely.
Is number three all-time rushing. Number three all-time rushing. Let's see. Do you realize this? Do you realize that in 16 seasons, he's missed 23 games? I think J.J. Watt has missed that many in his 10 seasons in the NFL. I mean, yeah, I think Watt has that many. He has a little bit more, even. Frank Gore is a machine. What is up with this guy? How does he keep going? I mean, people want to talk about Tom Brady. Yeah, okay, fair enough. But you know, Frank Gore's been hitting the line for almost 20 years now. How does this guy do it?
Yeah, I don't know. He's still being talked about as being a feature back for this coming season, I heard.
Okay, so who's he with? Did he sign with the Jets again?
That I'm not sure, but I've heard teams talking about, you know, hey, we want Frank Gore, and the Jets are one of them. I don't know. I don't know if he's signed or not yet. I haven't heard that, but I do. I have heard a lot of talk about Frank Gore.
I'd take him on the Rams.
Yeah, Frank Gore has just had an amazing career. You know, just some numbers that he has. 241 games, right exactly at 16,000 yards, right on the money. 81 touchdowns in his career. He is the Hall of Fame for the 2010s, and he's made it into five Pro Bowls. You know, so just a great competitor. A lot of years with San Francisco, 10 years with San Francisco, three with Indy, one with Buffalo, one with Miami, one with the Jets. And who knows where he's going to go this year? I don't know if Frank knows where he's going to play this year.
He's the Ryan Fitzpatrick of halfbacks.
Right. But he's a stud everywhere he goes.
Right, except he starts every year. Right. Every year he gets drafted about 10th round in fantasy, and he ends up being about a third round equivalent back. In any case, I don't know. Here's where I start to run out of gas. I don't know too much about Eddie Medor except for the stats. You know, big Los Angeles Rams cornerback, I believe. Secondary, anyway.
Right.
You know, but see, again, I can't date myself that badly. I don't know anything about Eddie Medor. Who else makes your list?
Well, I mean, let's talk about Medor. He had six Pro Bowls, twice was an All-Pro, Hall of Fame for the All-1960s team, had 46 interceptions. That's nothing to... you know, shake a stick at there. That's pretty good, especially in the era 1950 to 1970s when he played in the NFL. You know, not the AFL, the NFL. Right. Wasn't a lot of balls going up in the air at that time compared to now.
But, right, literally you're seeing like 22 to 25 attempts.
Right, so 46 interceptions in 163 games. That's one out of every four games he's got to pick. So that's pretty good numbers for a cornerback of that era. So I think he's a decent one to talk about. The other one,
you can put him in based on stats, based on the all-decade team.
I'm not even saying put him in, but I think he's definitely in the discussion.
Yeah,
find a top 10. The other one I have on here is Patrick Peterson.
Okay.
Peterson, another cornerback, still playing 2011 through 2019. I think he's still playing. Yeah, he played last year, 2020, with the Arizona. You know, he's had a real nice career for him, for himself. And my stats are giving me things here, but he's got 8 Pro Bowls, 3 All Pros, another Hall of Famer for the All 2010 teams. I don't have his interceptions up here, and I'm having a little bit of trouble here. It looks like he's got 28 picks in his career so far.
Yeah, I make a meter sound more impressive.
Yeah, right. So.
I don't know. I guess we'll see. It's wild because you make up lists like this where you're comparing guys from different positions and different eras and whatnot. But there's that real, like, tenure mark, right? Like, if a guy plays a whole decade and goes through it and then keeps playing, that's, like, what tends to put the real – that's what separates the long careers from, you know, the good careers, you know, and he's one of them. So for me, it's like, let's see what happens to Peterson Peterson over the next couple of seasons, you know, because we will determine if he's really, really a great, really in the discussions for Hall of Fame or not.
I agree. You know, some other names we have on that list, you know, we have Rick Volk. Rick was another DB. Had 38 picks in 150 games. Didn't wear the 21 his entire career, but he did wear it all but 1 year of his career. Played with the Baltimore Colts, New York Giants, and the Miami Dolphins, and a year with the Giants in there where he wore number 23. But still, 38 picks in 150 games. Not a bad ratio. One-time All-Pro, 3 times in a Pro Bowl, won a Super Bowl, and an NFL championship. I assume those were both Baltimore. Yeah, they both were with Baltimore. So not bad, again, for that era, for a DB. Another one I have, you know, this is a running back more modern that a lot of people out there have seen play, is James Brooks, you know, a nice running back, most notably of the Cincinnati Bengals, but played for the Chargers his first 3 years, which I didn't realize. And played with Cleveland and Tampa Bay at the end of his career.
I thought you were going to go Zeke for a minute. He's still playing. Yeah, because Zeke gets way down on the list here. I mean, he's a contemporary 21 at running back. You don't see that on running backs too much these days.
Right. But yeah, let's if you got Zeke's numbers, bring them up, because that's definitely somebody we want to talk about.
Let's see. Let's fire that up. Because, yeah, the thing about Zeke, huh? He's playing on those Dallas Cowboys who tend to carry so much baggage. You know, here he is in 2016, leading the league in rushing attempts and yards, 322 for 1631, which is absolutely insane these days. Almost 110 yards per game that season. That's his rookie year. Then 2 years after that, you know, similar stats, 304 rushes for 1434 yards. You know, he's going for 95 and a half yards per game there. But this is the thing about modern running backs, right? Except for Frank Gore, apparently, is that there's this mileage counter on them. You know, you can call this the Priest Holmes example. You remember when he was in Kansas City, they ran this dude into the line for 3 years, 300 times, and that was it. You know, he was done. You can't do this. Another guy to watch for this is going to be about a guy that we're talking about on the next show. You know, our boy in Tennessee, who is dangerously close to being the only weapon for that team. You know, so I'm looking at him and wondering if he won't run himself into the ground in the next few years. But, you know, you got to wonder this about Zeke. Plus, you know, the Cowboys is being dysfunctional and unlucky and just snake bitten as they've been the last 20 years. You wonder what's going to come of Zeke's career.
But so far, he's got 5 seasons under his belt, 3 Pro Bowls, 1 All-Pro. Mm-hmm. He's run for 6,384 yards, 46 touchdowns in 71 games.
You know. And three seasons was over 300 carries.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and like you say, those bigger backs, you know, When I come to you think of like Okoye and Jacobs we talked about earlier, those bigger backs that pound the ball into the line continuously, they just their bodies take a beating and they your body can't, human body just can't hold up to that abuse. You know, that's where some of the smaller backs can get away with it because they're outside a little bit more. They're not hitting, the A gap every single play. So where the big monsters are.
Yeah, but for these guys who have no footwork and all they have is that strong first step, I mean, all it takes is some wear and tear, and then you don't have that anymore, and that's it. Unless you're, unless you're Frank Gore, who just can't be tackled.
You know, right.
Until he gets 3 or 4 yards. You know, not pretty to look at, but... It seems to me he's the only guy in our lifetime. I mean, we were just talking about LaDainian Tomlinson. I mean, geez, he was awesome for like 3, 4, 5 years, but these days, there's just a limit. I mean, guys are 100 pounds heavier than they were in the times of Hadel, and they're probably, half a second faster. I mean, that's a slight exaggeration, but you're getting hit a lot harder and a lot, the impact effect is a lot harder. Wanted to throw in props to one other guy here, at least one other guy on this list. The greatest St. Louis Cardinal probably of all time, right? Eric Metcalf.
Right.
He was a 21. But yeah, as lowly as the St. Louis Cardinals were for.
Well, no, I think Eric Metcalf was the was his son. He was the one that played for the Browns. You're thinking of Terry Metcalf, his father.
Yes, Terry Metcalf. I'm sorry about that. No disrespect to Eric Metcalf. And I would have to say, speaking of the Cleveland Browns, that one guy who probably should not be on any list like this is Ernest Biner. Whenever you have a negative play named after you, that's your claim to fame. That's just not to be mentioned at all.
I don't know about that. You have some great players throughout. You have Buckner that played for the Boston Red Sox. you can't say, hey, the guy had a horrible career. One play that he's known for, or Scott Norwood, or if you go to football.
Oh yeah.
And they're remembered for bad things, but hey.
Did you talk about Norwood when you were discussing number one? I think you were.
I don't think we did. I don't.
No. Okay. There you go.
A lot of famous number ones. We didn't quite get to him, but. But here's another name back from the late 60s, early 70s on the Dolphins team, played on the undefeated Dolphins team, Jim Kick at running back. Two-time Pro Bowler, two-time Super Bowl champ. Didn't get the notoriety in that backfield because when you have Mercury Morris and Larry Zonka playing, but before them was Jim Kick, and he was a nice player.
And he was also that actually tunes into a new episode of the Truly the Goats. Oh, my God, that I'm actually recording right now, which involves the World Football League, which was second to last really NFL level rogue league to exist. And of course, the Memphis team, the Memphis Southmen, made headlines by signing three Dolphins a year before their contract came up. So that was Kick, Paul Warfield, and Larry Zonka. And so he was also notable for that. Those three guys signed, I believe, the three highest contracts, as it turned out, in that league's history to play. And they even signed him a year at a time. So, interesting little tie in there. So, a little answer to a trivia question. Memphis probably would have been awesome if they had finished that second year of the World Football League.
Right. Yeah, that was an interesting league.
Sure was.
Is there anybody else that we want to bring into this list before we go to our deliberations? Because just to review, we have four names we put in our top 10 already. We said Deion Sanders, Charles Woodson, LaDainian Tomlinson, and Jim Thorpe we are putting in our top 10. So we have six slots to fill, and we just mentioned a bunch of names here.
Oh, well, nobody else to mention. I'm surprised that we went this far down the list, to be honest. So Yeah. Okay. Well, again, Frank Gore, I think.
I agree. Frank Gore should be in.
I'm still disputing your Tiki Barber, so let's put him on hold. But yeah, probably Eric Allen too, right? Just
I think so too. Eric Allen just the definitely awesome is a no-brainer.
Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's six of them right there.
Okay, well, I mean, you're probably going to be a purist and sick to the time in the 21, but I would absolutely nominate Jim Thorpe in there because, again, I was put.
Well, we already put Jim Thorpe on there.
Thorpe's already on there.
He was in our top four here.
Okay. Okay. So great. Okay. And let's see. Okay. Well, who else do you got? I kind of like Cliff Branch in there.
I do too. I was just going to say that. I think Branch ought to be in there.
Okay.
And now here's a couple that I'm sitting on the fence on.
Okay.
And John Hadel, I'm sitting on the fence a little bit, and along with Mader, Eddie Mader.
Okay. Well, I definitely would put Mader on there. Yeah, because again, we're getting a little bit low on the poll here. Yeah. So, Terry Metcalf is on this list. Oh, he did wear 21. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We'll
so maybe we
talk
should
talk about him.
Maybe we should have Terry. Well, I just appreciate Terry Metcalf because I mean. It seemed like some years that literally he was the only All-Star on that St. Louis Cardinals team, which was the absolute word for mediocrity in the NFL until the Tampa Bay Buccaneers came along. And even the Buccaneers did not have this sort of history of mediocrity that the St. Louis Cardinals did. Now, of course, the St. Louis Cardinals moved quite a while ago, so the new level of mediocrity is probably what the Detroit Lions, but even they come up with all-stars once in a while. I mean, geez, they had Barry Sanders, they had Megatron, you know, they had, you know, I'm sure, well, Ndamukong Suh, right, was a Detroit Lion. So they've had some notable players, but literally, and maybe I should talk to the Chicago Cardinals podcast here at the Sports History Network about this, but I don't know. I mean, literally, Metcalf is about the only really great, really all-pro, consistent all-star, you know, player the St. Louis Cardinals ever had in like 30 years of football.
Well, I thought that too, but I was a little bit surprised by his numbers. I mean, I know he was almost like his son, Eric Metcalf, mm-hmm. or they were sort of almost like a gimmick, a smaller size running back, but caught a lot of passes out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's his career numbers, okay? Now, he had a short career, 73 to 81, mm-hmm. and he missed an entire season in 1978 through injury. And he had just under 3,500 yards rushing in his total career, mm-hmm. and about just over 2,400 yards passing. So he didn't have, you know, tremendous numbers, but I guess if you put it together, that's 6,000 yards in basically five seasons. Mm-hmm. Not shabby, but I don't know that it's top 10.
Yeah, might not make that list. Yeah, not make
right.
This might be an example of, you know, memory sort of coloring a little bit more than necessary, but I mean, again, to me, I mean, it was, you know, that was back in the day, of course, when, you know, the old timers love to talk about. You only got like 2-3 games every week that you could see. And when you were the St. Louis Cardinals, who were never good, you never got on. You never got on national TV, right? I was in the Boston market. They never played the Patriots. Right? They didn't have the balanced, calculated schedule like they do now. In the NFL. So, you know, I mean, he was like the only guy I remember. So it must be my memory playing tricks with me. let's see. I'm not willing to put Peterson on here yet anymore.
Well, what did we decide about Hadel and Mader? Are we going to
Mader? Yeah, sure. Why not?
Mader, okay. So Mader we're going to say yes. We're going to leave Hadel off for now for some.
Okay, is Hadel? Hadel may make it based on the fact that he's probably the best quarterback to wear 21, right? So if you want to include him on that basis.
Yeah, well, we want to find the best players, though. It doesn't have to be – we don't need one from every position. We want to try to find the best players that wore the number 21.
I guess.
I'm thinking – What do you think about Zeke being on that list? I mean,
yeah,
body of work, but he's an interesting character. He's been productive in his short amount of time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he, along with this wave of you know, halfbacks that's hitting the league right now, is sort of resurrecting this idea that, you know, the running game is irrelevant. You know, guys like Zeke are making it seem relevant again. You know, guys like, help me out. Who's the young guy on the Raiders? The Raiders have a nice young guy. The Giants have a nice young guy. I mean, these are guys just coming up.
Saquon Barkley.
Barkley is a great example of this. You have some of these guys that are coming up right now that are, you know, really making a dent. Another one that just won the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. You know, these young guys, just running backs that are making that position relevant again. And they're doing it, too, with good running. I mean, it's not like, again, it's not like they're a two-way back necessarily out of the backfield. They're actually like pure halfbacks that could have made it in any era. So you kind of like Zeke for that respect already. So, okay. I just talked myself into it. Zeke.
So that gives us 9. So we need one more name. And this is a tough one. We said this was going to be a little bit difficult.
I think I'm going to have to bend on Hadle, because then it means accepting Tiki Barber if I don't.
I think Hadle's probably worthy of that.
Sure.
And because he did have decent numbers in an era where quarterbacks, you know, there were some good quarterbacks that didn't have as good of numbers as that. From that
and era. He did have one season where he was the starting quarterback and there were 3 ties. So you got to love that.
Right.
Can you imagine that? Well, 3 ties in one season.
I think that's our list. So let me go through our list here. Let's erase here. We got Deion Sanders, Charles Woodson, LaDainian Tomlinson, Eric Allen, John Hadle, Eddie Mader, Jim Thorpe, Cliff Branch, Frank Gore, and Ezekiel Elliott. That's our 10. I think we did it. Now, before I let you go, you've been hosting a very interesting program on the Sports History Network, the SHN Showcase. And I know we talked a little bit about a month ago when you were on, but we have a lot of new people coming onto the Sports History Network, and I'm sure you have some new episodes that have been out that you maybe you'd like to talk about.
I just do one a week, right? I'm just happy that so many folks are coming to the network that I'm able to keep this program going. You know, I think it was number 9. And at that point, I had covered everybody on the network. And then all of a sudden, hey, we have a meeting, a staff meeting, I guess you would call it. Staff, not really, but just a meeting of the Sports History Network. And then all of a sudden, I got like 5-6 new podcasts on the network. So, yippee. So, yep, just turning them out. I keep having to push back. You know, you asked me the question when you did the show is, who's going to do Oz Davis? Who's going to do the Truly the Goats spotlight? And the truth is, you're going to do it. But I keep pushing that date back. So you're dodging. You don't even know. You've been dodging a bullet.
I guess I just got nominated for something I didn't even know I was up for.
Yeah, see, you've been dodging a bullet now for a couple of months. You don't even know it. So that'll be sometime in May. But, I mean, with the way that Arnie Chapman, the football dude, recruits people – I'm sorry, the football history dude recruits people to this network we might never have the Truly the Goat show. So
well, we'll have to start doing 2 a week to catch up so we can get that.
Oh my god, don't do that to me, man. Don't do that to me. I mean, I like being busy with podcasts. I like producing podcasts, but you know, you kind of hit the limit when it's like 1 a day, except for people like you who are crazy.
I get about 8 or 9 a week, so
yeah, you're crazy. You're crazy. I have limits, you don't.
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on here, helping us with these number 21s. And I had so much fun. How about you come back for our next episode of the Football by Numbers, the number 22s? What do you say?
Yeah. Okay. Let's do it in like 2 minutes. And then through the miracle of time travel, it will be like a couple of days.
All right. Let's do it.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.